I appreciate that welcome. Makes me feel like I'm back down in South America in our crusades. They have such a expression, you know, to an evangelist when he comes to minister to them. They really welcome the evangelist, so we really appreciate that. That kind, hearty welcome. You can be seated. It's our privilege to be here tonight. And it really is a privilege. Many multiplied times in my life, I've again and again, we've come forth under the tent to minister the gospel. Many, many times under our own tent in different places in the United States and numbers of times in other people's tents across the nation, Canada, different places. It is always a real privilege to be able to come and minister the gospel. When you are a true minister, then you have a feeling for people. There is a deep concern for people. Of course, we have a feeling, a deep concern for people. Glad to see some of our people out of Macon, Georgia, some brothers and sisters that we know there. Brother John Lane, I see him back here, Brother Albert and the family. Certainly glad to have these people with us. Appreciate people that come to be with us. We have people from different places that come around to the tent meetings and to our camp meetings and from different towns and different states and from the foreign countries. We have a number of people coming in from time to time. And this, of course, we really appreciate because we love people. Glad to see our brother Dale Clark with us. Dale was here last night. And I was hoping he'd be here tonight, and I see Dale is with us tonight. Glad to have our brother ministers here. Some of you ministers I know, and some of you I don't know. And a lot of times up here I can't tell too well because they have the lights, you know, real bright, and the lights don't glare in your eyes, but they do in my eyes. They set those lights up for video. Video is kind of an unusual sort of a thing. You have to have exceedingly bright light to be able to get good video. We've got our 16-millimeter cameras that we use for movies, and they use them sometimes. They use them overseas. It's better to use them overseas. Have used video overseas, but it's better to use the 16-millimeters overseas. And here they use the video, as a matter of fact. See, they got some video set up tonight. I didn't know they had any set up tonight. They didn't have any last night except for Brother Conrad, who's out of Louisiana. Certainly glad to have Brother Conrad here out of Louisiana. He's doing some video. And also our reporter friend, we're certainly glad to have him here with us tonight from Valley Times. We had a few words with him outside. I believe they also had the Columbus paper out today doing some stories on some of the people. We have some real fine reporters around the country. Some, they are kind of like other folks, you know, they're not good as others. They kind of give the wrong opinion of things. But on the other hand, we've had some beautiful write-ups. And we've had a number of front-page write-ups in the big leading newspapers across the nation. And we've had some real good write-ups from different people that regard spiritual things and regard Christ. A lot of college papers and things like Leave Them Alive on the newscast. A lot of times they come out from the TV and they cover it. We've had numbers of news medias to come out and cover the meetings from time to time in different places. And we appreciate their concern in the work of God. And I read an article today, a little article that came out in one of the local papers in one of the towns around that it was a real good write-up. It was concerning our meeting here. Are you glad to be here? Let me see your hand if you're glad to be here. Okay, it's a real privilege to be here tonight. I really consider it a privilege to be here. And I'd like to just talk with you just for a minute or two, not as long as I did last night, maybe. I talked with you a little lengthy last night before I started ministering to you. But before I preach to you tonight, I'd love to say just a few words to you. First of all, the average individual doesn't understand perhaps why we're here in the valley with the meeting. Now, so far as an evangelist, we're just another pebble on the beach, as I said last night. There's many evangelists throughout the world, and we're just another evangelist. We come in here to do our little bit for Christ, just like everybody else comes to do theirs for Christ. And great men of God come from time to time, and they have outstanding meetings. Great, wonderful things take place. See, a true man of God, a true evangelist, he cannot come to an area without something taking place. It's kind of like Kohoutek when it moved across the sky years ago. Scientists said you can be sure that something out of the ordinary will follow this. Well, see, heavenly or celestial bodies are symbolic of God's operation in the earth. As a matter of fact, the scripture speaks of this, saying that God has set the stars in the heavens for signs and for seasons. And a great men, like the wise men that found where Jesus was in the manger, or where he was after the manger scene, these wise men studied the stars, they studied the celestial bodies, and they were aware that these had to do with heavenly things. And even when Jesus was born, one of the ways that they knew this, the wise men that studied the stars saw a star bigger than any star that they had ever seen in heaven. One came up, it was larger than any other star. And they knew that there was some kind of a person in the earth that had come on the scene that was extraordinary, that wasn't just the average person, because of this great star that had appeared. And so they followed this star. And of course, the star they followed actually was an angel. The angel in the form of a star led them to where they were going. But they followed this star, as we say, to where they found the babe born in a manger. Even Jesus, the Savior of the world. And you know what? I know that you're glad that he came. And I'm glad that he came. Or where would we be tonight? What if there had been no Savior? See, what if there had been no Savior sent into this world? Where would man be tonight? Do you know that every person that has lived on the face of the earth, that is living on the face of the earth, or that will live on the face of the earth in the future, would have been lost. Not just lost, you know, just to come on the scene, to have life and to become extinct and be gone, but lost in the sense that they would have been turned into a lake of fire. The Bible said where the worm dieth not, which means your body, God spoke to Jacob, saying, I will help thee, thy worm, Jacob. And God refers to this body of the first birth as being the serpent, the generation of vipers. It's called the worm. And only those that can escape that to get to the butterfly side of it, as we say, only those are counted as the heavenly. That is, that can move from the earthly bound habitation to this heavenly environment. Only those are considered the celestial or the angelic side of life. So then going through the stages of the metamorphosis, changing from the worm, leaving the cocoon, coming over to the heavenly side of the celestial body. See, this is all because of Jesus. He made the way. Had he not made the way, then where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, that's where we would have been. You know, a lot of people, they dispute that. They say, well, someday the fire is going to give out, but that isn't right. I know that hell is not eternal in the sense of being where it is now and as it is now. Well, the Bible speaks of hell and how that it will give up its dead at the coming of the lake of fire, and that hell and death shall be cast into the lake of fire. But see, it's still one great body of fire. And the Bible said the fire is not quenched. Where the fire is never quenched, nor the worm dieth not. So then, I want to welcome you to the tent tonight and say we appreciate you, and especially our minister brothers. I don't recognize some of them, you know, a lot of times, but I want you to know, brethren, that we give honor to all of you. The Bible said give an honor to every person. You know, they deserve some kind of honor. So we give honor to all and double honor to them that labor in the gospel, the Bible teaches. That is the ministry. And so, in a good thing, Paul said, I praise you. So I praise you tonight in your wonderful work for Christ. and your ambition for Christ, whoever you are that labor in the Lord, we offer you double honor tonight. We welcome you here, and that double honor, of course, is a special recognition. We welcome you here tonight to the tent. We're here to talk about Jesus, and we're here for one purpose, and that is to glorify the Son of God, that we all together may grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're fortunate. We've been blessed. I hope you'll pardon me while I take this coat off. We've been blessed, and our ministry today is in more than every major language of the world so far as the printed page. And we have radio programs that reaches throughout the world. We've received mail as far as London, England, and we go into Russia. We go into all of the nations of the world, potentially speaking. And we have radio programs that are locally, some that have a real good outreach in places like Atlanta, Georgia, Phoenix City, Arizona, and other places around the nation. For these, we are grateful. We go into the islands, most all of the islands. We have a broadcast that covers most all of the islands of Cuba and even into South America and wherever. So we're trying to do what we can for Jesus. We need you to work with us. We need you to help us. We need you and everyone that's concerned about the gospel. I'm sure that you must be helping somebody in the gospel. You have stood by somebody, or you wouldn't be God-minded tonight. So then, in that you're helping someone else, we're not trying to solicit your help in the sense of taking you away from them, but we want you to know that if there is any other thing that you would like to do for God and reaching out, then we certainly would love to have you and our field of labor and have you as a comrade for Christ. And whatever you would like to do, if you would let us know, well, we certainly would like to work with you. And wherever we go, we offer this opportunity, and we have people working with us around the world. And I'm very grateful, because without the people, you couldn't get very far. It's by the people that the Lord works, and of course, we want your help. Now, not just financial help. We don't solicit your financial help, even though we thank God for it if it should come our way, but we solicit your prayers and your concern. And there's many other ways that you can help an evangelist outside of finance. Finance is a great help, I can assure you that. But in that God promised to meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory, well, we believe that, and as a consequence of that, God does it. He meets all of our needs. Though it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars for us to operate, God meets those needs, and we're very grateful. I want to read to you tonight from 1 Corinthians, and I want to start in the 15th chapter. Let me say this just before I read. I say this so often. We're no different from any other evangelist, but every evangelist usually works different. Our way of doing things has been this way for quite a number of years. We don't try to understand what we're going to minister on before we come to the sacred desk or under the tent. We don't ever mark anything as a rule. Very rare for us to do anything like that. It has to be God dealing with us. We don't know what we're going to speak on when we come. I open this Bible when I come here and He gives me my text. Now, I wouldn't advise anybody else to try to do that because it might not work for you. But this is the only way it'll work for me. I tried preparing my text before I come to preach at night or whenever. And I've tried to select my sermon. I've tried to build a sermon. I've tried about everything back through the years. And in everything that I tried, there was nothing that would work right. When I came here, I would read one thing and the anointing would be another. And finally, I said, well, dear God, if you're going to say what you're going to say, and now I'm sure that you are, then I'm going to let you read what you want to read so we can have it all together. So I started coming here night after night. I say here, under the tent, that is. I started coming night after night, and wherever I was ministering in churches, I'd come. By day or night, I would open my Bible, and there it would be just exactly what He wanted me to minister on. And it has always failed right to the line every time. It's astounding, but year after year, it does it. And, of course, I come here tonight the same way, and He's given me my text. But I want to say this as I go to read. I'm here. As I say, not different from anybody else. Paul said, we're just helpers of your faith. But I am here by divine leading of God. I was in the Carolinas over in Gastonia when God spoke to me to come to the valley. And I am here for a specific purpose. The tent is here for a specific purpose. And we are here for a divine reason. And tonight, it's good that you don't know that reason until you come to understand better, unless God wants you to know it. Because it isn't that there is things that God doesn't want us to know, as you've heard people say. The Bible says to the contrary, we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. God wants you to know all things. And besides that, the Bible said, Jesus speaking said, whatever my Father has made known unto me, I've made known unto you. And it's for sure that he knew all things. So he wants you to know all things. You're his body. He wants you to know all things. And there's a reason for that, and perhaps we'll comment on it tonight. But aside from that, it is a fact that we do grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that from glory to glory into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. That's God's desire, that we lay aside everything and go on unto perfection. To go on to be perfect in God. Let us go on to be perfect. A lot of people say, well, you can't be perfect, Brother Pike. There's nobody perfect. But see, the Bible doesn't teach that. That's just people talking. The Bible teaches that Abraham was a perfect man, that Noah was a perfect man, and Job was a perfect man. And the Bible said, mark the perfect man among you. And it tells us that we should go on to be perfect. And it says, to be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. So see, God wants us to be perfect in his sight. He's trying to bring us to perfection. Now the question would arise, why does he want us to be perfect, Brother Pye? For the simple reason that we can't change this mortal body until we are perfect. There's no way. Now we can have salvation and we can be a Christian. See, because our perfection is of God. Our true perfection and righteousness is of Jesus Christ, and we merit nothing. But by means of that perfection and that divine glory that is within us, we are moved from glory to glory, from the inner man moving into this outer man for the change, that this outer man may be changed into the glorious image of the Son of God, which divine ordination is over in Thessalonians. And God speaks of it at the sounding of the last trump. Paul speaks of it, that we'll be changed from mortality to immortality at the last trump, at the sounding of the last trump, which means that this mortal must put on immortality. And this corruptible must put on incorruption. And we talk about that, folks. And we've sang about that. And we preached about that down through the years. Isn't that right? But the thing is, are we really expecting that to happen? Are we really looking for that thing to take place? Are we just saying this? Are we playing a religious game? Is the world going to be able to continue to mock the church year after year in that we testify and witness of something so great? And nothing takes place? Or is there a reality in serving God? And are we really truly going to put on immortality? Are we going to escape the pains and groans and the problems of this life and the pressures of this life? You know, the Bible speaks of the Christian that if in this life you have hope only, then you, above all other people, are miserable and more miserable than anybody else. Because in this life, you deny yourself and you deny this life that you might have a greater life. Therefore, in self-denial and putting away different things in this life, you automatically find yourself more miserable than anybody else. Isn't that right? So then it is necessary for us to come to a true understanding of God. And in coming to a true understanding of God, then we really will put on immortality. It is a truth that we will be changed from this corruptible being into an incorruptible being. And it is true that many other things so great accompany this. Whereas the Bible said that eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard the things that God hath in store for them that love him. The Bible teaches that eye hath never seen and ear hath never heard, but that God hath made it revelation unto babes, even unto us, we that are willing to learn. So then he said, you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Do you have the spirit of revelation tonight? You might say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, that's great. But see, the thing is, do you have the spirit of revelation? There is one spirit. There is many operations. Now, we're talking about a divine operation tonight. Do you have the spirit of operation as to revelation? See, do you have that tonight? All right, he said, if you don't have that, then you should pray that you should get it. And this that I want to read to you tonight will let you know that that is true. Reading tonight from 1 Corinthians, I want you to notice what he has to say in the 15th chapter. Paul the Apostle, speaking to the Corinthian people, having been sent to you and I, that we might receive an inheritance among the saints. Before we read in the 15th chapter, I want to read in the 14th chapter, in the 36th verse. What came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Then he goes on down. He says in the 15th chapter and in the 18th verse, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ or perish. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I see those things lining up, whereas we didn't choose that tonight. I quoted it to you, and here it is right in the Bible. I hadn't even noticed it. Not in our reading for tonight. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageeth me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I want to emphasize that point tonight in my little talk. It says here, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how art the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, there's a lot of things that we can say here tonight, and a number of things that we will say, and maybe be able to elaborate a little bit or detail some of these things as pertaining to death and immortality. I wished, a lot of times when I come up here, I find myself wishing that I had time to really preach to you. And I say this so often, if I really preached to you, I'd be like Paul. It'd be daylight in the morning when I finished, and then most of my audience in this day perhaps would be gone. Not all of them, because we have ministered all night and still had audience. But Paul ministered all night long to them, because he had to do that to get over this great, wonderful knowledge and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of God is so exceedingly great. And the Bible said the mystery of God is great, and I am made a steward of the mysteries of God. So great is the mystery of godliness. And God wants us to understand his knowledge, and he points out in the 34th verse that it is a shame not to have the knowledge of God. Now he says to you and I speak this to your shame, that you don't have the knowledge of God. Have you ever stopped to consider that? Now I want you to think on this. He says that it is a shame for you not to know the knowledge of God. Now in this world we feel ashamed that if we don't have the worldly knowledge, whereas worldly knowledge is of great advantage if it's received right, that is to the extent of making a living or conforming to something that you might have a better job, something that's honest and upright. See, that's a great thing, and we feel real ashamed if we don't have the knowledge of the world. But did you know that that's not where the shame is? The Bible said, and I speak this to your shame, that you don't have the knowledge of God. Now, folks, this is when it gets to be a shameful thing, is that you be educated in the world or you understand the things of the world and you don't understand God. Now you just stop for a few minutes and think about that. Think how foolish that would be to know that God has put you in the world and to know that you belong to God and that everything in the world is created by God and to know that in this world you only have a short time and then you're going off of the scene here and you're going to meet God. You're only going to be here a short while. This pilgrimage here is but for a short while. Even if you get a great education, even if you get lots of money, and even if you own many things in this world, even if you are a great celebrity in the earth, you're only going to live a little while. And then after that, you're going to die. You know, at your very best in preparation, you don't have long to live. You take the time you're 20 or 25 years old, it takes about that long to ever level off, to quit being foolish like a teenager, just running everywhere wild and spending your substance. It takes that long for you to settle down, and some people don't settle down even at that age. And then from 25 right on up until you're about 60 or 70 years old, you don't have many years left. And during that time, if you don't apply yourself to Christ or to God's way, you don't learn anything. If you let 10 or 15 years go by from the time you're 25 years old, then you're in trouble. Because scientists say that at about 25 years, that a man's mind is made up and you can't change it. That means that people, averagely speaking, at about 25 years old, there's no hope for them. Other than the fact that God is able to do all things. And that new birth actually changes your mind. That when you are born again, you get the mind of Christ. And it actually changes you into a new creature. But scientifically speaking, once you get about 25 years old, you're just about ruined so far as making a change in anything unless God's in it. So then, tonight, I speak this to your shame. Paul said, if you have not the knowledge of God, if you do not have the knowledge of God, then what does he say to you? Paul, being the apostle to the Gentile church, He says, awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. Why does he use the terms awake to righteousness? Why is he using that term, awake to righteousness? Because the Bible teaches at the midnight cry that all of them was asleep. At the midnight cry, everybody was asleep. Now, I want you to think on this, because the first thing that we think is that can't be, Brother Pike. But the Bible said at the midnight cry, they all were asleep. Isn't that right? Not only was the foolish virgins asleep, but the wise virgins was asleep. I don't get upset, but the Baptist was asleep. The Methodist was asleep. The Catholics was asleep. The Pentecostals was asleep. Now, I know a lot of Pentecostals don't want to receive that. They say, no, not us. But the Pentecostals was asleep. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, but we have the Holy Spirit. A lot of the charismatic people say, no, we're not asleep. We've got the Holy Spirit. But the charismatics was asleep. All of them was asleep at the midnight cry. And there came a great cry. And the Bible said the watchman upon the wall gave forth a great cry at the midnight hour, and they all were asleep. And at that particular time, this great cry from the walls went forth. And there was a great cry that swept out over the city. And there was a voice that said, awake, awake. Paul said, awake to righteousness, awake. I speak this to your shame, he said, if you have not the knowledge of God. Awake, he said, and there was a cry that went out. And the cry was awake. Awake to what? Awake to righteousness, folks. But you say, but Brother Pike, we are righteous. But did you know that the church has drifted so far away? And the condition of the church today, it is such that people are not walking with God. People in the churches today are not walking with God. You say, you don't believe that those people belong to God, Brother Pike. I certainly do believe that they belong to God. But I know in belonging to God, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're walking with God. See, that doesn't mean that you're living like you ought to live. Isn't that right? Somebody say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean, David of old was God's anointed. Isn't that right? David of old was God's anointed. But did God want David to go out and do the hideous thing that he did? Why, David was a horrible person. David went out and committed murder. It was premeditated murder. And not only committed murder, but he stole his neighbor's wife. Why, you wouldn't even want to have a neighbor like that. See, but David belonged to God. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, David did this and David did that, and David was a man after God's own heart, so I can do it too. But one thing they overlooked is the Bible said that the sword never did depart out of David's house. It's true that David did that. It's true that David was a man after God's own heart. It's true that David was an upright man, but David got away from God's heart. And David done some things that God's heart wasn't in. And David, the Bible said, the sword never did depart out of David's house. It was heartaches and sorrow for many years to come. As long as David lived in this world, he had heartaches and problems because he went astray from what God had told him to do. Isn't that right? And that's the way it is with the church today. Though you belong to God, though you're God's people, yet you've left the joy of Christian living and you've lost the joy of your salvation and you've gotten way back off in the distance away from God. Like Peter. You know what caused Peter to deny the Lord? Peter was following afar off. That's where the problem was. The Bible said, and Peter followed the Lord afar off. And that's when he denied the Lord. It's obvious that while he walked with the Lord, close, he never denied the Lord. But when he started following afar off, it wasn't long before he denied the Lord. Isn't that right? And so then the church world today has got caught in this thing. And they are denying the Lord God. Why are they doing that? Because they are following Christ afar off. They've gotten into a sleep. They've gotten into a slumber. And they find themselves hard and fast asleep. Now think of this for just a moment. When does a man go to sleep? He goes to sleep in the night. The Bible said, gross darkness shall cover the people. In the end time there shall be gross darkness. Now then the question arises, what is darkness, Brother Pike? We look around the tent here and we see this darkness of the night. Is this darkness? That is a darkness. According to intellectual comprehension, I see the brightness of these lights. That is light according to intellectual definition. But beloved friend, God who is a spirit made a natural you and me. And God who is a spirit created tangible substance. But God is still the invisible God. He's still a spirit. He's still the great light. And the Bible said the light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen or can see. And Jesus Christ alone, dwelling in that light, hath immortality. So then this great God, who is an invisible God, this great Spirit Christ speaks of, this great God of heaven and the God of earth, He made natural things. He made you and me. He made the birds. He made the trees. He made everything that's beautiful, the flowers and the streams. God made it. All of it's natural. But still, God is a spirit. And when God wants to communicate with you, He wants to communicate with you on a spiritual basis. So then if He made natural darkness, there must be a spiritual darkness somewhere. If God made a natural man, there must be a spiritual man somewhere. If God made a natural light, there must be a spiritual light somewhere. So then tonight, what kind of darkness was it to cover the earth in the end time? What kind of darkness was it? It was that gross darkness of intellectual reasoning. Remember, all of this started in the garden. All of it started in the garden. What is it? The intellectual reasoning of human beings. So then what is the darkness? It's intellectual concept. Darkness is intellectual reasoning. Why did God say unto the Apostle Paul, Paul, turn my people from the darkness to the light? It was because Paul had come into that great, wonderful mind of Christ. He had come into the mind of Christ. And thus being in the mind of Christ, then he was able to bring the revelation of the Son of God and break the yoke and move the dark veil of night and rend that veil, take that veil away from the human mind, that the veil of death might be consumed with the brightness of God's own coming, with the great spiritual understanding of God that would consume that intellectual reasoning. Remember, the entire world today, wherever we travel across the globe, it is caught within the prison of intellectual reasoning. And the great, mighty intellectual powers are in control of it. And they do with man what they will at their own will. They pounce upon man and they make man a prisoner. And they take everything they can from man. It's not just in America. Somebody would say, wretched America. It's not just wretched America. We go across the entire world. And from here to the land of the midnight sun, we find it to be the same way. People over there are doing the same thing. While we were in Israel, I remember David, our God, he stood with tears coming down his cheeks. And he looked at my people that I had with me. He said, Brother Pike, he said, I don't know how we can stand it much longer. He said, the oppression that's coming upon us. He said, the demand for our finance and taking this that we have. He said, I don't know how we can stand it. When I was in India, the same thing happened in India. When we were there, the papers carried a little article where it showed the great leader over in Cuba and the great leaders of India as they were behind a glass in a big, fabulous home. And they were eating, and there was a great spread across the table of the best of food. And on the outside, looking through the window, it was pictorial that here stood the poor and the hungry and the starving. And while these great leaders sat at the table, they talked about feeding the hungry. And they talked about the great need of their nations. But the people on the outside were starving to death while they stuffed themselves. And the newspapers was willing to write the truth about it. So they wrote it up and they took pictures of it. And they showed where these people talked about these things, but was doing exactly nothing. And there stood the starving on the outside. What is this? It's the intellectual darkness. It's the gross darkness covering the people. That power and influence from the tree of knowledge, the thing that started in the garden. All because people don't have the knowledge of God. Paul said, I speak this to your shame. Awake, awake, awake to righteousness and sin no more, he said. Come out of that. The Bible said we serve God with the mind, with the spirit. We serve God with our mind, folks. You know, an individual is something that thinks all the time. He's like a computer. He never stops thinking. His mind, day and night, he's thinking, even when he goes to sleep. All during the night, his mind will still be going like this. He'll still be thinking, even if it's dreaming.
What is it? It is serving one power or another by the submission of your thoughts. You submit your thoughts either to one power or to another power. God is an invisible spirit. And the Bible said, where two or three come together in my name, I am in the midst of them. Satan is a fallen angel. He is still a spirit. For the Bible said, I make my angel spirits. The Bible tells you and it tells me that we are to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We are to meditate in His laws day and night. Day and night. Now, come on, people of the church. It says that we are to meditate in His laws day and night. Do you meditate in His laws day and night? Do you do it? Or is your conversation in the world? The Bible said we're not to have our conversation in the world. We're to have our conversation in Christ. Do you have your conversation in the world? Or do you have your conversation in Christ? When you have people to come to visit with you, do you sit down and talk about your automobile and whether you want to trade or whether you want a new model or whatever? When you meet people on your job, is your conversation about your family, about your bodily conditions, about your plans and programs in life? Is your conversation about the groans and moans of your body? Or tell me, is your conversation about Jesus? Let your conversation be in heaven. Is your conversation all day long about the Son of God? Where is your conversation, beloved friend? Do you talk about God, or do you talk about the things of God? Every thought must be brought into subjection to the mind of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible said, being made in the form of God, He thought it not robbery to make Himself equal with God. I spoke of some things last night. They were a little bit strong, hard to get a hold of. You know, because the church isn't moving on with God. If the church was moving on with God, it wouldn't be hard to comprehend. It wouldn't be hard to get a hold of. But the evangelist, when he comes to town, when he goes to preach the gospel, what does he do? He has to be so careful. People are not going on with God. What's the problem? They don't have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame, Paul said. Then can Brother Pike repeat that tonight? Can I stand here on the platform tonight and can I say I speak this to your shame because some of you have not the knowledge of God? How old are you? How many years have you spent in this world? What is your pastor doing? What is your preacher doing? I speak this to your shame tonight. You say, but my preacher don't preach those things, Brother Pike. Well, you need to have a talk with him. Maybe he's a good man. Maybe you don't understand. You need to talk with him. You need to counsel with him. You don't need to rebuke him. The Bible said, rebuke not an elder. If he's your leader, you don't need to rebuke him. You don't need to smite him. You don't need to mock him. The Bible said, smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. But you need to go to him. And you need to have a talk and say, look, why is it that we are not advancing in the kingdom of God? Why is it that we're not moving on in the things of the Lord? Why is it that I'm not as spiritual as I need to be? And then if he cannot give you an answer, then you need to go pray. And you need to ask God to move on his heart if he's a sincere preacher, if he's a sincere man of God, if he's trying and just don't understand. You need to have God to get a hold of him, to get a hold of his heart. But beloved friend, if he's not right with God and if he's interested in the things of the world, you need to get rid of your minister and you need to get you another minister, because if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And you need to have somebody, as God said to Paul, that will turn your eyes from the darkness unto the light. You need to get your eyes open and away from the intellectual darkness of this world. Am I going to spend my entire life as an individual in the intellectual reasoning of man's way of life? Am I going to educate myself continually with man's way of life? Why don't I educate myself with God's way of life? If it's necessary for me to educate myself in this world with man's way of life to succeed in this world, knowing that it's but a few days and full of trouble, how much more ought I to educate myself in the things of God, knowing that I'm going to spend eternity over yonder in that place? How much more does it make sense that one should understand God and that one should understand where he's going more than where he's been? Don't it make sense that you need to know more about where you're going than where you've been? Where you've been, irregardless to what has happened, that's all behind you. But beloved friend, where you're going, that's all in front of you. And what you're going to do and what that's going to amount to, all that's in front of you. That could be heartaches and sorrows. The Bible said a wise man counts the cost. He looks well to his going. He ponders the path of his feet. He handles his affairs discreetly. So then, shouldn't we do that? The Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. It adds no sorrow. It's for sure that you'd like to be rich. Everybody goes after riches. You might say, well, I don't do that. The Bible said all of the Gentile people seek after riches. They're looking for convenience. They want the wealth of the world. Yet the Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. It maketh rich. And the Bible said it has no sorrow. But the Bible teaches that if you get riches outside of the blessings of God, irregardless to how you get it, the Bible said you'll be cut off in the midst of your days, and in the end ye shall be a fool. So then, as Solomon said, I get all of these things by wisdom, all the wealth, all the riches. He said, but what's going to happen? Man being few days but full of trouble, as Job said. What's going to happen? I get all of this, and then I die and leave it. And who knows but what I leave it to a fool? After I but wisdom have gotten every bit of it, who knows what's going to happen to your nice automobile? Who knows what's going to happen to your nice home? Your parcel of ground that you've tried to keep up and take care of that was so dear to you, what's going to happen to it? See what's going to happen to it? What's going to happen to all of your education once you die? The Bible said the dead know not anything. So whatever you know now, if you die, you won't know anything after you pass over. For the dead know not anything. So then, what's going to happen to all of your treasure? If your treasures are in earth, what's going to happen to your treasures? That's why the Bible said, lay up treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasure is, the Bible said your heart's going to be there also. You can't change it, beloved friend. You can try all you want to. But just as sure as you lay up your treasures in this world, your mind's going to be in this world. Just as sure as you lay up your treasures in this world, your mind's going to be in this world. But just as sure as you pray and fast and seek God, your treasures are going to be in heaven. Your heart's going to be in heaven. If you do things for God, if it's world evangelism, if it's to help the poor and the needy, if it's to help the widow and those that cannot help themselves, your treasures are going to be in heaven. Your heart's going to be in heaven. Your mind's going to be in heaven. And you're going to be looking to heaven. And all of the joys and jubilance of life is going to be according to the celestial. So then, I speak this to your shame tonight. Why is it you don't know the word of the Lord? Why is it you don't understand the things of God? Oh, friend, tonight, my heart is enlarged to you. I know from the spirit that I feel. I know from the attitude that I pick up from the people through discernment. I know that there's good people under this tent tonight. I know there's people that love God here tonight. I know there's people that's concerned about God here tonight. I can tell from their spirits. There's people that are interested in the things of God. Maybe a little critical on some points. But why not? I'm new to some of them. And they're wondering about me. And they're trying to understand me while I try to understand them. See, so there's going to be perhaps a little criticism in the mind. But I'll be honest with you. Out of all that I feel tonight, I don't feel any. I feel a little pondering in the mind here and there. But I feel a good spirit. I feel a good audience. I feel God moving in the state of Alabama. I felt him here last night. I told somebody today, I said I felt a good spirit on the tent last night. Folks, this is wonderful. I'd rather have the spirit of God than all of the wealth of this world. I'd rather have God's favor than anything in this world. To have God in this valley, moving through this valley, to know that this valley is the home of the soul, and to know that this valley is filled with God and filled with God's presence is the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. God, the great mighty God of heaven, giving you his favor. obtaining his favor. What will it do, Brother Pike? It makes rich and it adds no sorrow. It'll bring the blessings of God to you. You know, we have found in this area that there's some of the finest policemen, some of the finest lawmen here that we've found anywhere. We have a lot of policemen that come out to our meetings, even the mayor. And we have good policemen. But here I found some of the finest. Some of them that's willing to try to understand what we're doing in trying to work with us for the good of the public. You know, that's something to be grateful for. Men that are in power, men that are in authority, can take your sovereignty and cause you a lot of problem, folks. But when men are men of wisdom, and when your policemen are godly men, and when your leaders and your powers of authority are godly, that's great. The Bible teaches it all down through the Old Testament. Every time they had a godly king, the country was blessed. The nation was blessed. But when they got a wretched leader, always it was poverty or some bad, something happened, or some nation rose up against them and they couldn't have any peace. You know, I don't agree a lot of times with our presidents and the different ones in office. I'm sure they wouldn't agree with me, and I'm sure you don't agree with some of them. But I agree with the fact that when we do get one of them up there, if that man will stand for God, if that man will do what he does know to do, though he may not know what I know to do or what you know to do as far as Christ is concerned, but if he does what he knows to do, and you and I pray that God will strengthen him in that, my, I agree with that, and I'm so grateful that they will be there to do those things, because it affects me, it affects you, it affects your children. If you go into the country such as India, if you go around the different parts of the world, and you see the things that I see, and I'm sure that some of you have seen them, you'll know that having a good ruler means something. Having a good leader means something. Having proper authorities means something. Having the right kind of preacher means something. Because your mind is the controlling factor of your being. And whatever your mind brings to you, whatever your mind says to you, then that means that you are under the constraint of that mind. You're subject to that power that's speaking to you. Therefore, you need the right kind of indoctrination. You need the right kind of understanding. You need your thoughts right. God, he's speaking to Paul. He says, Paul, turn my people from the darkness unto the light. Awake, awake. Awake to what? Awake to righteousness. You that have the all, you that are sitting in the darkness, the intellectual powers of evil, awake. The day star is beginning to shine. And great light is springing up under them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death. And that great, wonderful light of God is beginning to come. Awake and stand up for Christ. You say, Brother Pike, who are you speaking to? Well, he said, what I say to one, I say unto all. Though this goes out to many people on the radio in the different parts of the world, yet I'm speaking to you people in Alabama. See, awake. Awake to righteousness. Stand up for Jesus. You that are individuals, stand up for Jesus. You are an individual concern. Stand up. Not as a body. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I came because of my church. Forget about your church to that extent. I don't mean forget about your church and leave your church. You need to support your church and you need to stand with it if it's preaching the gospel. But as so far as your salvation, this is an individual concern. The Bible said, let every man work out his own salvation, and that with fear and trembling. So tonight, forget about your church. Forget about the preacher. Forget about everybody except Jesus. And you stand up for Jesus. Now let's think of it like this. If I start with Brother Pike tonight, and I say, okay, I'm going to begin with Brother Pike. I'm the one. I need to look like the Lord. I need to dress like the Lord Jesus would want me to dress according to the Holy Scriptures. I need to talk like the Lord Jesus would want me to talk. I need to do the things that God would want me to do. I need to be in life just exactly what he would have me to be. Are you following me? I need to be outstanding in Christ. Let's be a hero for God. You know, this is a battle. This is a great battleground. And God needs leaders and God needs soldiers and God's got a work for you to do. Did you know that the Bible teaches that we, you and I, all of us that are Christians, the Bible said that you are a holy priesthood, a royal nation. And did you know the Bible teaches that you have to intercede, that you are to make intercession, royal intercession, in the time of the absence of the body of the Lord Jesus, that is his natural body, that you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and that you are to make intercession to them for them that are without, that you are to intercede to God for them that are without. Remember, there is an advocate, even Jesus Christ the righteous. He is on our behalf, and he is pleading with the Father toward you and I. He's pleading with the Father toward you and I. And he said, no, Father, no, no, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. And the wrath of God moves, and the righteousness of God begins to boil like a teapot, as we say. And the great bloody hand of Jesus goes up and saying, no, Father, no, these are children. They don't know what they're doing. And the wrath of God has held back. And God sees that nail-riven hand, whereas Jesus said, I've engraven thee in the palms of my hands that I might not forget ye. When he remembers you and he raises up that nail-scarred hand, the great mighty power of God is stayed. God said, Moses, get out of the way. He said, this is a rebellious people. They're not going to listen to me. He said, get out of the way and I'll destroy every one of them. And Moses, I'll take you and make a great nation out of you. And Moses said, no, Lord, no, Lord, no. If you're going to destroy anybody, destroy me. See, interceding is Jesus. So then, there is an advocate with God, even Jesus Christ the righteous, to keep God from destroying us. And his blood is on our behalf. So the Father won't break forth on us. But did you know that there's something else needed? You say, what is that, Brother Pike? There's something else that we must have, God must have. You say, what is that? That is, he must have some intercessors. He must have some intercessors, though Jesus is pleading, no God to man, no God to man. He is pleading for mercy from God to man. But God needs somebody that will plead the other way. God needs somebody that will plead God's cause. God says you are a royal priesthood, and you ought to make intercession, praying to God always, that God will grant repentance to them that are without. Standing in Christ instead, beseeching the world to be reconciled back to God. See, God needs somebody to stand up for him. Jesus needs somebody to stand up for him. He's not a natural corporal body at this moment in the earth. He's gone on as a quickening spirit, and his corporal body's bloody upon the seat of atonement in your behalf. But he needs your body. Christ needs to enter into your life. Christ needs to enter into your heart. You need to be the members of the body of Christ Jesus, that you might plead the cause of God, and that you might go to a man, and you might go to a woman, you might go to a boy and a girl, and you might say, look, don't you love the Lord? Don't you want to know about God? Wouldn't you like to have the knowledge of Christ? Wouldn't you like to know about this great, wonderful Savior that gave his life for you? I'm pleading his cause. I'm pleading his cause. Christ Jesus is pleading my cause up there, and I'm pleading his cause down here. I'm pleading his cause. I come to you to plead his cause. And you go out there to him and you plead the call. Don't you see the need for the minister? Don't you see the need for the laity of the church? Don't you see the need for the deacons and the great, wonderful men of God and women of God that's in the world today? To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is absolutely imperative to our salvation, to our nation, to our lives, to our homes, and to our children, that we come together in unity in a religious gathering, not just in a protracted meeting, but in a mutual understanding of what God's Word is all about. You need to know what God's Word is about. I need to know what God's Word is about. You know, I'm going to say this. I'm going to close in just a few minutes. A lot of things I'd like to say tonight, but maybe we'll get to something concerning death tomorrow night, the resurrection. Awake to righteousness, sin no more. Let's get the knowledge of God. Folks, let me say this to you tonight. I know it's hard and uncomfortable, but you've been a good audience. Let me say this to you tonight. It's wonderful that you can receive this in the state of Alabama and in the valley, because it very definitely brings the blessing of God. The Bible said, whoever the man of God blesses will be blessed. Whoever he curses will be cursed. Whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever he looses on earth will be loosed in heaven. And Jesus said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins ye remit shall be remitted, and whosoever sins ye retain shall be retained. See, and to bring a blessing. That's the thing, to bring a blessing. We come here to bring a blessing. I felt like we'd be able to leave the valley and leave a blessing. I believe that. I'm going to say this, and don't you get upset at me. You're a good audience tonight. I'm just going to give a little reference. When I say this, you think back. I came to this valley a number of years ago. I went through this valley, and I met some good people. And I had some good meetings here in this valley. I ministered in a number of places, and we had a good attendance. But though the people received me wonderfully, they did not receive the Word of God to the extent of incorporating in their lives the things that we preach to them. And they did not put on the garment of God as they should have put it on. And then they rebelled against that which God was trying to do. And when I started from this valley, I told Betty, I said, I've got to get out of this valley. This has happened a number of times in my ministry where I went. I said, I've got to get out of this valley. And I told them that I saw the hand of God coming upon it, and I saw evil coming upon it. And I said, I'm going to get out of here. And when I got out of here, the river rolled out of its banks, and it filled the valley. It come down into the valley. See, the river come out of its banks, and God was displeased. I was over in Virginia, and I told Betty, when I was preaching in Virginia, I said, get out of this valley. I said, because I wouldn't be surprised if God didn't bring that river out and flood this valley because of the way the people are doing. And I got out of the valley in a few days. It was over the radios everywhere ringing out that the valley was flooded with water and hundreds and thousands of lives were in jeopardy because they did not receive the word of the Lord. See, so to have a good spirit, to receive the blessings of God is wonderful. We went out of places and tornadoes have hit. We went out of places and plagues of rats have hit and even went in on the children. We went out of different places and great phenomenal things have taken place as we left those places. Why? Because the people did not incorporate in their lives the things that we told them. See, we're telling you tonight, here, awake unto righteousness to sin no more. See, awake unto righteousness. I speak this to your shame because we've not applied ourselves to the knowledge of God. You say, Brother Pike, but those things might just have happened. Did you know that this is the truth to the best of my knowledge? When they gave out the reports of the flood over in Virginia, there in the valley, while we was riding down the road, I heard it on the radio late. It'd been there for days. And while I was riding with another evangelist, it was still ringing out. And I said, oh, my God, oh, my God. I said, Lord, there's babies' lives that are in jeopardy. There's people's lives that are in jeopardy. I said, my God, my God. I said, let that river go back into its banks. And you may not believe it, but the radio said, just shortly said, something has happened, said the river is receding and going back into its banks. I have, God knows this is the truth. I've stood and listened to the radio report when the tornadoes was headed our way and just be a few blocks away. And I've raised my hand in the name of the Lord. And I said, God, turn that thing and send it another way. And the radio going while I was praying. And I'd hear a voice say, something unusual has taken place. And the tornado has turned from its regular path and is going in another direction. When it just rang out that it's headed right where I was at. See, God will hear the prayers of the saints. If you pray, God will hear you. God loves you tonight. God will do anything for you tonight. You're His child. Don't you know that there's not a child that a father or mother loves? But what if that child began to plead for its life or begin to plead for mercy? That mother and daddy would immediately do something about it. And that's my heavenly Father, folks. I'm His son. When problems arise, I call on the name of Jesus. And I say, my Father, and my Father hears. Can you give Him a hand? He needs a hand. Hallelujah. God needs a hand, don't He? Hallelujah. He needs a hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. If we can give a hand to the great artists of the world and the great athletes of the world, why not give a hand to our Heavenly Father? How many times has He saved your life? How many times has He saved mine? How many times has He blessed your children? How many times has He heard when you called on Him? If you've never called on Him, give Him a chance. You might say, well, I don't know God like that, Brother Pike. Well, let's get acquainted with Him. Let's call on Him like that. Let's call on Him like that. How would you like to call on God like that? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say praise the Lord? Glory to God. Let's stand together tonight. I want you to stand up with me tonight while they come back to the organ up here. I'd like to take just a few minutes to talk with you. The applause tonight again reminds me of South America and some of the places that we travel around the world. Sometimes the minister's preaching and he hits a spot or a highlight toward the glorifying of Christ Jesus or the Father, and the people scream out in their hands and begin to applaud because they want Him to take notice of them. You know, we as mortals, a lot of times we don't realize that God is so concerned about us, folks. And we don't realize that God will look down and take notice to what we do. But if you remember Cornelius, the Bible said, though he was a Gentile, And at that time, salvation had not even gone to the Gentiles. But to show you how merciful and concerned God is, the Bible said that Cornelius prayed to God. He prayed and he fasted. And he just loved to help people. And he would give gifts to people. And all the time he was doing something for folks, just continually. Until one day, God looked down. And God said, Peter, said, go over here. He said, there's a man over here. You know, I don't know just how he expressed it to Peter, but he could have said it like this from the way he expressed himself. There's a man over there. He's the givingest fellow in this country. He just gives. He's always giving. He's always helping somebody. He's always doing something for somebody. It is a continual thing, Peter. And he just prays and fasts and gives. And said, Peter said, this thing has actually lifted itself up from the earth and came up into heaven as a memorial before God. You know, you can keep on praying. You can keep on trying. You can keep on doing something. And after a while, it'll come up as a memorial before God. Look, folks, do you want to die? Do you want to die? Don't you want to live? You don't want to go down to the local undertaker, do you? Yet everyone's going to do that. Young and old, all before you, all that's living and all that's coming after you. They're going down to the morgue. They're going down to the undertaker. Whether young or old, they're going. Can't hardly live your life out now. There's so much danger around. Unless you got God, you don't have much assurance of life anymore. Even in this present world. You got to have God now just to have life in this present world. But listen, you don't want to die, do you? Did you know that that's why Jesus came into the world? He said, I'm the Prince of Life. Folks, look, I'm the Prince of Life, he said. I come down here so you wouldn't have to die. I made you. I wanted you like you are. I wanted you healthy and happy. And I made all things for you. I don't want you to die. You're the apple of my eye. You're my chief creation. I don't want you to die. I made you and made all things for you that you might enjoy.
All things.
And that I might live in your heart and direct your path, even to the great abundance of life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life in that more abundant. And did you know the word abundant means filled up and overflowing? I want you to have an abundant life, filled up and overflowing. And I want you to have it on eternal basis. On eternal basis. I want you to live. Whether you're old or whether you're young, I've got life for you. It doesn't make any difference. I've got life for you. God wants you to have life. He's got life for you tonight. And you know, as we go on this meeting, maybe you've never heard this, maybe you have, but at the last trump, the mystery of God is to be finished. And great is the mystery of godliness, but it's to be finished. You're to know about it. And at the last trump, it is to be unveiled as to what death is and what death is not, and what life is and what life is not. And it's to be unveiled as to what time is and what time is not, and where time got its beginning, the origin of time, and the consummation of time. It's all to be revealed. We're going to be talking about some of those things in this meeting. But you know what? Revelation 10, the Bible said, the angel set one foot on the land and one on the sea, and sware by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. Time should be no more. Like the songwriter wrote, and time shall be no more. And the angel shall set one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time shall be no more. We're approaching that, folks. We are approaching that. You might not understand this tonight. I hope you can. I really hope you can. But one day I came to understand what time was. It was revealed to me. It was made known unto me. It was made known unto me where time began and how time came about. What brought it, as we say, into existence as to man's comprehension and concept. And what it was to do. What God was going to do in the sense of the use of time. People use his time. And where time was to stop. He made me to know when it was going to stop. Where it was going to stop. How it was going to stop. Why it would stop. And showed me that it couldn't possibly do anything else at that particular place of life except stop. He revealed it to me. It was made known unto me. And this meeting down here in Alabama has a great significance. You know, Alabama is called the heart of Dixie. Things go on in the heart. People that are spiritual, sometimes they can perceive and understand. Others perhaps can't. But remember, death. I want you to think on this tonight before you leave. Death cannot excel time. Death is governed by time. If there comes a consummation of time, then that means death has got to lose its hold on them, that it can escape time. In this world, scientifically speaking, there's what you call the powers of gravitation. Certain things, materialistic things in life, they are controlled by a greater strength because the elements in those particular things relate more to the gravitational powers and to the fire that's in the heart of the earth. So tonight I'd like to speak on some of these things. But there are other things that are lighter that don't relate to it as much. See, but whatever has within itself the elements that relate to this gravitational power they're controlled by. If a magnet moved out there, you took a magnet and you moved it over certain things tonight, there wouldn't be any relation. Other things that would relate to that and they'd jump up. Such as the rapture would be with the Spirit of Christ moving. The Spirit of Christ is moving. There's certain people and certain things within certain people that relate to the Spirit of Christ, which is going to bring the rapture. See, and when I speak of time, there's certain people that relate to time. There's certain people that relate to eternity. And tonight, that's what we're speaking of. Through this meeting, we'll be saying things, perhaps you've heard, perhaps you haven't. But we'll be saying things concerning the mysteries of Christ in Revelation 10. So I want you to pray. I want you to come prayerfully. I want you to come with open hearts. Don't come critically. Come prayerfully. You know, if I say, well, I don't believe that because I just don't believe that because I've never been taught that, I'll never grow any bigger. Isn't that right? I've got to listen to something I haven't heard. Somebody's got to tell me something I haven't heard. And then I got to consider it as to whether it's right or not before I reject it if I'm to grow in the knowledge. And if not, I just say, well, this is what I've been taught. This is what I believe. All my life I've proved this. This is what I'm going to have. And so we dwarfed ourselves and there we are. So then we could miss the rapture or the translation. And as much to be said about the rapture. You might kind of jump on this as you leave tonight. But when you go to search for the word rapture, and all of the churches are built on it, unless you've considered it's to your utter amazement, you're going to find out there ain't no such word. Think it over. Look and see. A lot of things that we think we know, we don't know. A lot of things we rest on, it's not there at all. You can be leaning on a broken staff. But there is an answer. I want you to lift your hands up with me. I know it's hot. I know it's uncomfortable. And I know when we come to this part of the service, different ones begin to slip out. I realize that. And that's all right. They have to go. Whatever they have to do, that's between them and the Lord. But this is one of the most important parts of the service. Because this is where we deal with souls. And this is where we find out who is concerned about lost souls. So tonight, while you've got your heads bowed, I want you to lift your hands up. Now, God has blessed us in our lifetime. And we've had some good results in praying for the sick. And usually in all of our meetings, one night or another, or a number of nights out of the meetings, we pray for the sick because a lot of people need prayer. We're out here in the highways and the hedges, trying to compel the people to come in. And many people will come to a tent that won't even go to a church. I had a man converted in a town. You couldn't even get him in church. Came to my meeting. He was such a fierce fellow that even the police didn't even dare go onto his property. Because they knew that right on the property he would kill you. But he came to my tent and was converted and made a God man, a lovely God man before his death. So tonight, while you've got your hands lifted up, I want us to pray for just a moment and meditate for just a moment. And I want to sing a little chorus with you while you've got your minds on Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus. It's called Into My Heart. Come into my heart. Sing it with me now. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. While we're singing now, I want to sing this little chorus. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at His feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. Sing it like this now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Can you sing it? Although the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Sing it again now. For I have anchored. Now while they're singing this tonight, I want you to step out to the altar tonight. I want you to step out to the altar tonight.
And I'll sail.
Just come on to the altar tonight. I know there's people that need God tonight. And I know there's people that need a touch from God tonight. And I know there's people that need healing in their body tonight. So while we're singing, and while we're praying, while we're seeking God, I want you to come up to the altar tonight. Come on, folks. Come on. Come on, you want to be in that number. We sang, oh God. Lord, we want to be in that number. If you want to be in that number, now's the time to prove it. Now's the time to be numbered with it. Now's the time to get out into the stream. Because it's moving. God's moving. Now's the time to be part of it. You ever planning to go to heaven? Now's the time.
It may sweep.
God is translating. The Bible said, for God has translated us into the marvelous kingdom. And God is translating people into the kingdom of God. Now's the hour. Now's the time. Step out and come on up, folks. Lift your hands up and let's love God.
My soul.
Can you sing it?
Sweep over my soul. Dear Jesus, sweep over my soul.
For my rest, oh, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Hallelujah. Can you say, I love Jesus?
I've anchored.
Hallelujah.
My soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail.
I feel God moving tonight. I feel God moving. Don't you feel God tonight? I feel God moving here tonight.
For my rest is complete over the
while God's moving tonight, if you've not made that commitment to God, I beseech you in the name of the Lord to make it tonight. Make that commitment. Make that commitment to God tonight. If you've never made it, the Bible said, I'm persuaded to believe that God's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that great day. There's the day that's coming that's going to burn as an oven. And the Bible said, and it shall burn the wicked, it shall utterly burn up the wicked. And the righteous shall tread the ashes of the wicked under their feet. For God shall neither leave them branch nor stubble. For the day shall burn as an oven. Folks, be sure. The Bible said, make your calling and election sure. While they're worshiping God tonight, while your hands are up, I want you to keep worshiping God tonight. If there's a soul that's lost, now's the time to come to Jesus. If there's a soul that's lost, now's the time to make your decision. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The Bible said, in the day of the valley of decision, that the Spirit of God is near, or God is near. The coming of the Lord is near. So tonight, while you worship God, while you lift your hands up, let's love Him tonight.
Have faith in God.
Please, God.
Oh, let us have faith in God.
David Paul has given out some prayer cards here. 101 through 116. And if those that have those prayer cards will come up, we'll be glad to pray for you. Some of you that wanted prayer, I'll pray for you tonight. It makes a lot of times, in most all of our meetings, we pray without prayer cards. But it's getting so that you have to have the person's permission, the written permission, to be able to minister to them, or you can get in trouble with the law. Satan is pinning down in every way to stop divine deliverance and divine healing. But God is always making a move to stay ahead of Satan, always doing it. So if you want to be prayed for tonight, I want you to come on up here tonight. Just come up on the ramp tonight. He's going to call them out tonight as to who. I'm going to pray tonight. While I pray for these people, I want you to pray with me. And I want you to believe God tonight that God will heal and God will save tonight. These are human beings. These are people with a soul, and these are people with a destiny. They're going to spend eternity somewhere. Their destiny is ahead of them. And somewhere they're going to spend eternity. I'm glad to see Brother John Lane staying here tonight. Brother John Lane is a minister of the gospel and a wonderful minister of the gospel, a great man of God that's fasted long periods of times and prayed for people's deliverance. And he's ministering the gospel. He believes in prayer. He's also a principal and a teacher. He's been a teacher in public school, him and his wife, and also a principal. But he believes in the real, true knowledge of God. And tonight, while he's here, I want to pray for him while John lifts his hands up. I want to pray for him and pray with him tonight, and I want him to pray with me as I pray with these people. And listen tonight, you that are ministers, you that are ministers of the gospel, I want you to pray with me tonight. And I want you to believe with me tonight as I pray for these people and as I believe with these people. I remember over in Indiana when we had this tent up, there the platform set and the people came on it. We had some healings. And one of the healings that we had there was God healed a person of cancer. By doctor's report, the woman had been eaten up with cancer. And they had done what they could. The doctors couldn't do anything about it. And so that she came for prayer. And we prayed to God sincerely. And I felt God heal her. And I told her. And in that she was already going to the doctor, I said, go back. I said, when you get the check, I said, I want you to let me know what they find. I said, because I felt God heal you tonight. And she went back and they checked her. And the doctor said, we can't find nothing. The x-rays don't show nothing. Said, I don't know what's happened. The woman said, I have my healing. Said, God has healed me. And said, for the first time in many months, I have found peace and I found rest. And I found freedom from pain. God healed the woman. And I remember numbers of cases where it was supposed to be cancer or some bad disease or things that the x-rays showed. And God delivered and God healed. Where doctors had took x-rays and there were certain things wrong with them. And it called for surgery. And I told them not to go through the surgery because God had healed them. They went on and went through surgery after having inspiration and believing that God had healed them. When the inspiration wore off, they went through surgery to find out on a number of occasions that the operation come up negative. There was nothing there. The doctor said they couldn't figure out what happened. And some of them with the x-rays, I can remember a number of cases where the doctors took x-rays and said, we don't know what happened. It was there, but it's gone. So tonight, while we pray, I want you to pray with me because we're going to pray sincerely that God will heal. You know, it just takes simple faith in God. That's all it takes. Just simple faith. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, just simple faith. This is why we need the knowledge of God, to have simple faith. Father God of heaven, I ask thee for the forgiveness of my sins tonight. And I ask thee for the forgiveness of my brother's sins tonight. And by the righteousness of the Son of God, Lord, I speak healing to this body. I ask you to heal tonight. Father, make well in this body tonight. Give a special leadership, a special anointing. May the power of God be in this place and the Spirit of God be in this heart. May he be healed tonight. May the blessings of God be upon him. Fathers, we lift up our voice like a trumpet tonight to tell the people of the sin. May you heal and may you forgive in the name of the Son of God, even Jesus. Hallelujah.
Your sorrow will vanish. Your night's turned to day. Let go and let God have his way.
I believe the Lord will move. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, Lord, this problem that my sister has, thou seest, oh God, heal tonight. Oh God, break every yoke tonight. May the anointing of God, may thy spirit be here to heal, even Christ Jesus. I ask forgiveness, Lord, of the sins of this woman. Tonight, the forgiveness of my sins, and by the righteousness of the Son of God, even the Son of God, I ask you to break every yoke, Father, and may thy healing be here, and may this problem be no more. Move every wrong in this life in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Please, God. Okay, I believe he will. Father God of heaven, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to correct the disorders of this life. Forgive the sins of the sister. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus tonight, by the righteousness of your Son Jesus, may the mighty power of God be here. I feel it moving tonight. Father, may faith be here tonight. Heal. I want a good report. The elders received a good report by faith. I want a good report tonight, Father. I want you to heal the sister completely in the name of the Son of God, in Jesus' name. Can you praise the Lord tonight? Can you lift your hands up and praise God?
Come.
Let's praise God tonight. Let's believe God tonight.
Come into my heart, Lord.
Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my sister tonight. May the power of God be upon this body. May her spirit be throughout this body. I feel you healing right now because I feel her faith in God, Father. Heal tonight. Lord, she said she just wants to do whatever you want her to do. I want you to lead her, guide her, anoint her with your blessings, your power, and your spirit. May thy spirit be upon her. Oh, God, I feel you healing her right now. Hallelujah. Praise God, sister. I believe you receive that healing tonight. I believe God heals. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
What is it, my brother?
Oh, have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith.
Let's pray with our brother. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, Lord, this evangelist,
oh,
Brother Smallwood. Father, he's stepping out by faith. Lord, to carry the word of God. Lord, to carry the minister. What could be more beautiful, Father? Lord, than to preach the word of God. Even a greater calling than the kings of this earth. Father, may your power be upon him. May your anointing be upon him. May his sins be forgiven. May every yoke be broken. Father, may the divine leadership and the guidance of God be with him. Father, when he prays for the sick, let him be healed. Oh, God, may spirits be driven out at the prayer of this man. No, God, may thy anointing accompany him. Follow him from this night on. Let the anointing of God mightily rest upon my brother. Grant it, Father, the name of your lovely son. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel that. Father, God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, as I pray for our brother preacher tonight, Brother John, may the Spirit of God come down upon John tonight. Lord, to bless him and to lead him and to guide him. Lord, that his testimony might reach far and great and mighty. God be with him. Give him a special blessing, a special anointing. Grant it, my Father. May everyone receive a refreshing in this meeting in the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Something wonderful happened.
And now.
Father God of heaven, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. By the great Holy Spirit, by your righteousness, Father, I want you to forgive the woman's sins by your righteousness. And oh God, heal tonight. Save tonight. Forgive tonight. May every yoke be broken. And may the power of the living God be here. Father, to heal, to save and forgive. Oh God, tonight, may this woman walk before thee. May your blessings be upon her. May everything in her life change to the wonderful divine will and glory of the Son of God. Hear me, my Father. Look down from heaven through the righteousness of your own Son. Grant it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God of heaven, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lay my hands upon my sister tonight. I ask you to forgive her sins. And Father, to heal tonight. Hallelujah. In the holy name of your lovely Son, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, heal her. I feel your Spirit healing her tonight. Make her well. In the name of the Son of God. Grant it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord. Can you praise the Lord tonight? Can you praise the Lord tonight? Lift up your hands and praise God tonight, saints. Hallelujah.
Touch me. He touched me. And I no longer the same.
I believe the Lord will give you strength tonight.
Oh, he touched me.
I feel like you need some strength.
Oh, he touched me.
I feel like God will give it to you. Father God of heaven, you said for us to be strong in the power of your life, Father. And tonight, I want strength.
Something has happened.
Father. I want strength, my Father, in this body. I want strength. When this woman leaves this platform, I want her to feel strong in her body. She's going to feel strong in her body by faith in the name of the Son of God.
And since I'm at this place,
praise God, I felt Savior. God answer your prayer, sister. I felt God answer your prayer.
And since he cleansed and made me whole, I I'll shout it while eternity
rolls. God of heaven, in the name of Jesus, I want a miracle for this woman right now. In the name of the Son of God. By your righteousness, Jesus.
He touched me.
By righteousness. The name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Grant joy.
Heal these hands. Make these hands right. God, give her freedom in these hands.
Oh, God.
Something. I'm feeling good right now.
Has happened.
Somebody praise the Lord.
And now
hallelujah.
I know.
Hallelujah. I feel God doing it right now.
That Jesus touched me and He made me whole. Since I met the blessed Savior.
Praise God.
And
Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I ask you to forgive my brother's sins. Forgive my sins. And oh God, I ask you, by your righteousness, Father, even the righteousness of your lovely Son, Jesus, Father, heal tonight. Give a miracle for this brother. May it be so. I believe it, Father. Grant it. In the name of the Son of God.
Oh, he touched me.
Praise God. I believe He granted that.
Oh, I believe He granted. The joy that floods my soul.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Something.
Hallelujah.
Happened, and now
hallelujah.
I know.
Can you praise the Lord?
That Jesus touched me and made
you believe the Lord.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love
hallelujah, Father, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to give us a miracle, oh God, in this land.
First
grant your blessings to heal tonight. Lord God, to bless this little fellow. Dear God, to open this ear up. Father, a few years ago in this valley,
so
as I prayed for a man. Dear God, in this very valley, Lord, you gave me a miracle. And open a man's ear so that he could hear.
So
and Father, you
wonderful.
Gave me another miracle.
Praise
dear
him,
God,
saints.
A woman's eyes.
Oh, to me,
it
is so wonderful because He first loved me.
Praise God. I believe He
done
it. Oh, do you believe He done it?
How I love
Jesus. Can you lift your hands up and love
us?
Hallelujah.
Oh,
let's praise the Lord. Tears are dripping off of this little fella's cheek.
Jesus.
He really believes God.
Jesus.
Let's praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands up and love God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You just put him to the test and see. I believe
in
what you ask.
Love me.
Hallelujah. Love him.
Sing
oh,
it,
oh,
I love you, Jesus. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Oh, how I love you, Jesus.
Can you tell it?
First love me, singing oh,
hallelujah,
how I love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God. What's wrong with
oh,
you?
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved
Father God of heaven, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to heal this little mother tonight. Father, touch her tonight. May the great Spirit of God be here. May that wonderful power of God. Lord, it's not by power of might, but by your Spirit. I feel your Spirit moving right now. Heal. Make way. I feel that anointing, Father, coming from the body of Christ tonight. May your Spirit heal tonight. May the power of God be here.
Sweep over.
Well, you've done. I felt God do something for you then. I felt God do something for you then.
I have anchored
my soul in the haven of grace.
Did you?
I have failed the wild sea.
Don't you know? I believe you've done something for you, because I've done something for you. Won't you lift your hands up and love it?
Oh,
Father, I thank you tonight for touching this mother. And oh God, may your blessing be upon her. In the name of the Son of God, grant it. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father God of heaven, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch this little sister tonight. May your Spirit be upon her. Father, she believes tonight. And may the anointing of God be upon her. Father, to heal, to save. I feel you doing it right now. I feel your anointing on her right now. Praise God. Don't you feel that yoke being broken? Can't you feel that? You can feel that. You know you can feel that. Lift your hands up and love the Lord. You know you feel
touch
like
me.
You know what? If you'll lift your hands up and praise me tonight, all of you tonight, God will do something for you. God will heal tonight. God will do something for you. Hallelujah.
Something.
While we were in India, I prayed God worked some great things for us. And God went out into the homes and the areas and worked miracles and done things in India. And a woman was saved just walking out on a balcony of some hotels or motels. Just walked out on the third or fourth story, out on the balcony, way off away from the crusade. And I had prayed. I said, God, let your Spirit go into those homes and convert hearts and work miracles. And did you know God worked such a miracle for her and converted her, and she was a woman of renown? She came over to our place and she began to witness, and the people thought that she had lost her mind. And there was children following her children, and her neighbors was just all around her like that with her hands. You know, they just couldn't understand. And she was just a praising God and talking about God and what God had done for her, and it was just astounding. It was just astounding. Hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands up tonight. I'm just going to pray for the rest of them as a whole tonight. Lift your hands up with me, will you? Now others have prayer cards, and we'll be praying for you from night to night. But I want you to lift your hands up with me tonight. And I want to pray with you, and I want to ask God to heal for you tonight. Will you do that? While I'm praying, I promise you in the name of the Lord that God will heal you tonight if you'll believe. I promise you that he'll do it. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I stretch my hands out over this audience, Father. And as I do tonight, I feel the divine healing power of God. I want you to heal tonight. Father, save these people tonight. And Father, heal these people tonight. Those that have diseases, those that have afflictions, I take authority over them tonight. In the name of the Son of God. Satan, I adjure thee by God tonight. Take your hand off of this audience. I adjure thee. I charge thee by the finished works of Calvary to take your hands off of this audience tonight. I claim them in the name of Jesus and by the works of the Son of God. And I plead the blood over these people and for these people to break the yoke. Father, heal tonight. You're doing it, Lord. Heal. Right. Lift your hands up and praise God. I feel God healing tonight. I feel him healing.